I'm going to walk over here and start a demo of Windows Phone 8. And so what you see on screen here, this is my Windows Phone 8 device. I'm going to unlock it. There's my new start experience. Let me tell you a little bit about what I am showing you. For those of you taking photos, I want to let you know this is prototype hardware. It's an engineering device built by Nokia. It's not ID that will ship, although it does contain the technology guts that we're lighting up with the new Windows Phone 8 platform. This is a dual-core device. It has a high-resolution screen. It has NFC built in. I'm going to show you many of those things. Let me go over here. I also have a Windows 8 Slate. Let me unlock this. And I will tell you, this Windows 8 Slate is also not any particular hardware. This is not a Surface. Our Surface devices have all been in LA for the Surface launch that just happens, and so we don't have any of them here today. You're looking at a standard Samsung Windows 8 Slate here. But let me talk about this Live Tiles thing just for a little bit. The intent in our changing the Live Tiles support in Windows Phone 8 was not just to make Live Tiles more personal, but to give a consistent experience between Windows 8 Live Tiles and Windows Phone 8. So as a matter of example, those of you who have used Windows 8 are familiar with how this works. I can choose any tile as an end user and do customization, like making those tiles smaller. And of course, as you'd expect, I can choose any tile, and I can move these tiles around on the screen, as you've seen on Windows Phone as well. It's the idea of putting the user in control of their tiles. And similarly, I can now have control of my tiles on the phone. So I'm going to go through a few simple steps here and show you exactly how this works. So like you saw in the video, first thing I'm going to do is I'll go into customization mode, same as today, press and hold. And I'm going to increase the size of my messaging tile, just as you saw in the video. It's as easy as touching that resize arrow there. I like that tile big because I'm into texts. So now what I'm going to do is switch over here and change the size of the phone tile. I'm going to make it small. Of course, it stays live in its small size. And I'm going to put it into the space I vacated with the messaging tile. Now I'm going to scroll down here and start to emphasize the people in my life that I care about most. So I'm going to make Terry big. Maybe not that big. We'll choose the happy medium size for Terry so I can see when he's bugging me with texts or messages or emails or calls. Then I'm going to take my Skype tile that got orphaned down here and slide it up here into the offset layout position. You can see how I've got my medium tiles offset if I like a little bit more of an alternate perspective on life. I'm going to go down here to the me tile, same me tile you've seen today, but I'm going to shrink it to the small size because I already know what I am up to. I don't need to use more space on myself. And I'm going to take the number one most important person in my life, my wife Christina, and slide her up here into the poll position. So as she does Facebook posts, LinkedIn posts, sends me texts, calls me, I'm going to get all of those notifications right there on her live tile at the top of my screen. Very straightforward, consistent with what Windows Phone users are already doing today, but enables much more personal layouts and capability. And by the way, for those of you that have asked for more colors, we're delivering more colors too. Now let me scroll down, and you'll see down here towards the bottom of my start menu, I've taken advantage of this to maybe add a little bit more personality in my own phone's layout. Up there at the top, you can see I've put pictures of all my kids. I've got a little games area I set up with the Games Hub and some third-party apps and games I've posted. And one of the things I want to point out in particular, if you look at the Groupon tile or these two weather tiles, these are current Windows Phone 7.5 apps that are unmodified and installed and running as part of Windows Phone 8. And their live tiles, which were originally authored for a different size, are running and look terrific on this high-res screen with a different tile size. So all that application compatibility is part of Windows Phone 8, including live tiles in the new start experience. But what I want to show you is, here's an example of an app that's been updated to support the new live tile sizes, in particular, that's Nokia Drive. You can see here I've got the Nokia Drive tile in small size, but when I resize, I can go to a full large size tile, and now the app has a much bigger canvas for giving me notifications or graphic information, and we've made this API set much more rich, so software developers can do even more interesting things on Windows Phone 8 than they could on Windows Phone 7.5. I can also resize that to the medium size, and one of the things you see here, the tile changes its display to match the size I choose, and when I'm done with that, I'm going to put it back to the small size so I maintain the visual integrity of my layout for the rest of the demo. The point is, it is a platform feature, and it's one that we think software developers are going to be thrilled to put new benefit into and give end users great new ways to learn about the features and benefits of their apps and be drawn into using their apps even more. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is some parts of that core technology platform and show you a little bit about how the developer experience and end user experience is improved by that code that is in common between Windows Phone and Windows PCs. So the first thing I'm going to do here is go down and open the Terry Meyerson tile, where you can see Terry has been communicating with me a bit. If I scroll down, you can see there's an email he sent me, is this real? Well, let's take a look at this, because I want to talk about IE10 and the shared core parts of IE10 and how the IE10 user experience takes advantage of its scale across the PC and the phone. So here's Terry sending me this mail. Hey, Joe, do you think this is real? It's from probably not Bill Gates at contosomail.com. Subject, $1 million. I found this site that lets you instantly sign up to win $1 million in cash. Now, Terry is actually a moderately tech-savvy user, as you might expect, running the Windows Phone Group. So it's not likely that Terry himself would be duped into clicking on this link and have some malicious website do something to him. But unfortunately, there really are a lot of people who click these things, and it causes incentive for people to create more of them. And I happen to know this as a fact because people in my family really do send me emails like this asking me this question. Sorry, Mom, that's true. But what happens in Windows Phone 8, because of IE10's huge network of end users, is that when I click the link, IE10 detects that this website has been reported as unsafe. And actually, I'm going to launch a similar website on my slate so you can see the consistent experience that happens on the phone, on the slate, on the laptop, and on the PC. This is the network of all of those devices with common code and a common service protecting the user against malicious sites that seek to steal their identity or do other kinds of bad things with their personal information. And now that benefit goes from Windows on the desktop or laptop or slate to Windows Phone in Windows Phone 8. The next thing I want to show is an example of how that shared HTML and JavaScript componentry makes websites incredibly performant and compatible between the phone and the Windows PC. So I'm going to scroll down here where I've got a site set as a live tile. This site is called the Fountain of Apps. This is an HTML5 site that takes advantage of the new HTML5 support in IE10 on the desktop and on the phone and gives the user an awesome visual, high-performance look at the apps that are now available in the Windows Phone marketplace. And one of the cool things about the HTML5 support that we're getting from this shared code and that's implemented in Windows Phone 8 is its support for touch events. So you can see as I touch on this, there's this cool 3D visualization I can do and spin the fountain around. I can let it run again, spin the fountain around, and it's very smooth, fast and fluid, high performant. It's that hardware acceleration that you've seen from IE10 with HTML5 Canvas implemented as part of the shared core componentry on the phone as well. And that shared code componentry gives benefits because the same technology runs on the PC as well. The next thing I want to show, having talked about IE as a means for web developers to create websites on common code, is to talk about application writers and how they can take advantage of that common code to make it much easier to target apps for both the PC and the phone. And actually, in this case, I'm going to start on the Windows 8 slate. And what I'm going to do is move over here. We've installed, if you look right here, I've got a tile for the Windows SDK DirectX Marble Maze game. This is a game sample that ships as part of the Windows 8 SDK. It's been in the SDK for a while. Those of you who are developers and tried the SDK have seen Marble Maze already. I'm going to show you how this looks. It's a game that uses DirectX, so you get all the hardware accelerated benefits of DirectX. There's textures. It uses the accelerometer for motion. It's pretty straightforward. Here it is running on my PC, and many of you have seen this already because it's part of the SDK. But what I want to show you, is that same SDK sample moved with incredibly small code changes to run on the phone as well. And so here I am with Marble Maze on my phone. And you know, the exciting news is that it looks just like Marble Maze on the PC, and it plays just like Marble Maze on the PC. And it was an incredibly easy effort to take that SDK sample and get it running on the phone in a high-performant, ultra-smooth kind of way. And the reason why is that the same DirectX componentry graphics support exists on the PC and the phone. It's so easy for developers to move because all the complicated parts of their apps just work. The things that you need to consider in moving from one device to another is really the form factor change. There's a smaller screen. You have to think a little bit about touch resolution. In the case of this Marble Maze game, because it's based on the accelerometer, there's really almost no changes made. So suddenly, with Windows Phone 8 and that shared core, taking an app from the PC to the phone, very straightforward. And what I'm going to show you in a little bit is going the other direction. But before I do that, I want to transition into talking about some more of the hardware support that is enabled through the shared core on both Windows Phone 8 and on Windows 8 PCs and slates, and that is our support for NFC. So let me look under my podium here, because I have the April edition of Wired magazine. This is the real April edition. We didn't do anything to change it. This is a bookmark. So I could flip quickly to the Lexus ad here that was part of Wired magazine. And what's interesting about this Lexus ad is that it's an NFC-enabled ad. So I can take my Windows phone, and what I'm going to do is simply touch it to the paper here, watch the screen up there on the phone. Voila, the phone has detected the ad. It says, would you like to receive content? Someone is sharing a website from GQ.com with you. I'm going to ignore that right now. You've seen the browser already, but trust, if I clicked accept, you would see the website. Instead, what I want to do is broaden your thinking about what kinds of scenarios NFC can enable. That's a simple one, and that one will work across phones. So it really is rational for people to put those NFC tags in places like magazine ads. But imagine lots of other things. Imagine you're in your mobile operator store with a poster of apps, each one of which is an NFC tag. You can touch one, it provides a link to our marketplace to open the app. Or you're in a bar with a sign that says, need to get a cab, tap here to text or make a phone call. We can execute those things as well. And what I have here in my hand is a business card. This business card belongs to John Scovran, who is the group program manager responsible for NFC. And what you could predictably imagine that our real-world leader has done is put an NFC tag into his business card. So if I take his business card and just press it to the back of my phone here, you'll see the phone pops up and says, receive content. Someone is sharing a contact with you. I can choose accept. In this case, I'm going to actually show you how this works. And there's all the contact information that was stored in that NFC tag, very easily found by Windows Phone, detected. I click accept. And now I can go down here and just click save. I'm going to tell Windows Phone I want you to save this in my Windows Live contact store so it's available when I use the web. Here's all the data. If John were here with me now, I'd click add photo and take his picture, but he's not. So I'll just save it as is. And now I've gone from a real-world business card to my connected cloud in a matter of like two clicks. Very easy, very straightforward, really making those kinds of tasks super simple for people. And now that I have that content on my phone, I want you to think about my ability to use NFC to move things from my phone to other devices. I might move them to other phones, or I might move them from my phone to my PC. So what I'm going to do here is pop up down in the bottom of my contact card. We have a menu item called Share Contact. And we've had this sharing, I'm going to confirm that I want to share this. We've had this sharing menu for a while. It exists in lots of places in Windows Phone. You can share a photo. You can share a website. There's lots of things you can share. And what's new is the consistent addition of tap and send to our sharing command. So tap and send now becomes a universal way to share stuff on Windows Phone with any other device. I'm going to choose tap and send. And what you'll see right up here, Windows Phone tells you how quick and easy it is to tap your phone to another device. And what I want you to do is watch my Windows 8 slate up there in the upper right. Imagine that my wife has borrowed my Windows 8 slate, or I just want to do a quick transfer here to someone else. I'm going to tap my phone to the back of the slate. Keep your eyes on the... There we go. It says receive content. Tap to receive content from another device. And the experience is the same basic idea. I get notified, I can accept, and in the interest of time, I'm not going to go through that on the Windows 8 slate. Rest assured, you can do that with many content types. It makes it straightforward for end users to share things with each other or transfer to their own separate devices. But what I want to show you is how, not only how our built-in software experience makes these kinds of transfers easy, I also want to show you how a third-party app can take advantage of all this. So what I'm going to do is launch an app. And I must tell you in advance, this is the riskiest part of my demo. Keep in mind, I have prototype hardware and an unfinished software build running on two different devices. So this might not work, but we're going to give it a try. I'm launching this game called Spell It. And I want to tell you the story of Spell It. We've been starting to communicate these platform features to some of our ISVs, getting people to try them out and give us feedback and help to get some demos done so we could show them at an event like this. And we reached out to the authors of Spell It. This is a real app in the Windows Phone marketplace today. We reached out to these authors and said, hey, are you guys interested in trying to change your app for this event? This was about, I think it was about 10 days ago. They said, sure. And in 2 days of work, they took their Windows Phone app and ported it to Windows 8 and added support for NFC. So what I've got here, I've run Spell It. I'm going to click New Game. And once I click New Game, I can start a game with somebody else by taking my phone. Imagine my wife is using this slate here. I'm going to touch this to the back of my slate. And up there, same spot, upper right, it says Start an App. Tap to start Spell It. So I'll click right there, and what's happening is Spell It is launching a session. It's creating a connection over peer-to-peer Wi-Fi. So if I were in the middle of the woods, this scenario would still work. It's created a game. Over here on the slate, I'm going to tap to join the game. And under the pressure of all of you, all 500 of you watching me, I'm going to form my first word here, dank, which will give me an awesome score of, what is that, 8? Plus a bonus, I'll click play, and voila, dank shows up on the Windows 8 slate. Now, the operative fact, in my opinion, is that a developer who already had an app in the Windows Phone marketplace, that app would run fine on Windows Phone 8, in 2 days of work, ported the app to Windows 8 and added a peer-to-peer device scenario, greatly enhancing the capability of their app and making end users a lot more happy in the process. And it's a great illustration of how that shared core lights up benefits for developers, but for end users too. And it's a good example of how the new hardware support in NFC makes everyday scenarios a lot easier. Now, the last thing that I want to show in my demo is the wallet. And I want to give you a look at how the wallet spans a wide range of features and scenarios. So I'm going to scroll down here where you'll see I've got my wallet tile. And I'm going to open up the wallet and show you on my personal phone how the wallet is storing a bunch of stuff that I would ordinarily store in the real wallet I'd carry in my pocket. And what you see here is two lists of things. At the left, there's an all list of a whole bunch of different kinds of payment instruments and membership cards. And at the right is a list of deals. Think of the deals area as a folder for the coupons that you might have cut out of the paper, but now it's digitally stored. Let's take a look at these in some more detail. I'm going to come back here to the all list. And you can see I've got things like a Chase credit card, That's a credit card, and it says there app purchases. I've got my Chase Premier Plus card. That's a debit card that goes with my checking account. My Delta SkyMiles account, my PayPal, my San Francisco Public Library. And what I'm going to do is give you a look inside some of these. Now, what you're actually seeing is our wallet UI. And this UI gets lit up with data coming from those apps and services because a third-party app got installed on the phone. Part of our platform is a means for a third-party app to expose its data and web service content through the wallet in a very straightforward way, so a user can go to the wallet and see a summary of the benefit from all these things. And when I open the Chase Premier Plus card, you can see here, it gives me information about things like my balance. My checking account here has $1,300. There's the phone number I can call if I need to talk to somebody. If I pan over, we ping the service and pull down a history of transactions, so you can easily check to see whether transactions that are happening are ones that you made. And then back here at the upper right, you'll see a message coming from Chase that says, I've got a quick pay request from Kim Abercrombie. It's a way of that app or service notifying me of important things anytime I glanceably go to the wallet. So what I'm going to do is tap that, which launches the Chase app. Now I know for some of you Windows Phone users in the audience who are also customers of Chase Bank, you might be saying to yourself, wait a minute, there isn't a Chase app in the Windows Phone marketplace. There soon will be, and what we are showing is an early sample of that Chase app under development. We're working with Chase to bring their great range of customer benefits, like quick pay, like scanning checks and being able to deposit them, as part of a native Windows Phone app that will be available later this year. But what you're seeing here is a sample. I can tell there are some people who are Chase customers that are looking forward to that. What you're seeing here is a sample of how that app integrates directly with the wallet. I could use Windows Phone's already existing deep linking to connect from the message straight into the Chase app area where I might accept the request from Kim to do a Chase Quick Pay. And right now I'm not going to do that. You get the idea. The wallet connects to third-party apps both by displaying some of their data and by giving users rich links between the wallet experience itself and the apps. So now what I want to do is go back here, and I'm going to show you a little bit about how the wallet works with deals and what deals are about. As I said, imagine that deals in your wallet is a section of your wallet where you put coupons, except these are digital coupons, and you could get them from a whole bunch of different sources. And a little later on, I'm going to show you how you get those coupons. But first, you notice here my deals are sorted by expiration. I've got a deal at Brownies Hardware to get hardware for to get $30 worth of hardware for only $15. And because that's at the top of the list, it's prompting me that I might want to take care of it. When I open this up, you get a sense for how these deals enable redemption. In this case, the Brownies Hardware deal includes a QR code. I can simply open my deal card, show up the point of sale terminal, have them scan my phone, and get my $30 worth of hardware for just $15. It brings these things together in one place where users can store them just like they store them in their real wallet. Now, let me walk you through how I might use the wallet in a more complete scenario and actually obtain things like deals in the real world. So I'm going to scroll down here and choose my San Francisco Public Library card. Imagine I have finished my demo and talk today. I can finally relax. I'm going to head to the library, find something nice to read, get my book, scan my library card barcode as I check out my book in the real world. I'm going to exit the library and say, man, I need to find a great place to sit down and enjoy this book. So I'm going to touch right here in my library card on the library's address and bring up the new mapping that's enabled via Nokia Maps. There you can see the mapping support. And I'm going to touch the local scout button here. Those of you familiar with Windows Phone 7.5, you're familiar with local scout, which takes a neighborhood or an area and suggests things like places to eat and drink. And what you see here looks like the old local scout, although I'm going to point out one difference, which is that as I pan down this list of places to eat and drink, many of them have deals. And that's the line there in white at Cafe Sapore that says $3.29 beers on tap. This place is rated 4.5 stars. I can click it. I'm going to look at the place card, which gives me information about this, helps me find it, get directions, and so on. But what I want to do, actually, is tap that deal, because that deal seems interesting to me. And now I've opened up something that's new in Windows Phone 8, the deal card. The deal card is like a representation of a digital coupon. Here you can see this deal. I can go down here and share it with other people. I can pin it to my start menu as a tile. But what I'm going to do instead is, right up there at the top, you see it says save for later. I'm going to add it to my wallet. I click that. Now that deal has been saved in my wallet. And if I use the phone, navigate around, and then later on, I'm going to imagine that I've showed up at that coffee shop, and it's time for me to redeem my deal. I click on the wallet, pan over, and there's my Cafe Sapore item down at the bottom of the list, and I can redeem it in one of the ways as I showed you earlier. Pretty straightforward. These deals can be found in web searches, in place cards. They can be handed from one person to another. They can be part of what a third-party app offers. And we think they're a real beneficial part of the wallet feature that's part of the new Windows Phone 8 coming this fall. Now, the last thing I want to show in Wallet is how the wallet takes all your financial information and it uses it for financial transactions that happen on the phone. As I mentioned, you could use it for financial transactions in the real world, but I don't have a device today with a secure NFC card to show a real-world payment. So instead, what you're seeing is all the benefits you get if you don't yet or your mobile operator does not yet have one of those SIMs. I'm going to go into settings here, because as the place where you would store all your financial information or your financial transaction cards, one of the things that makes sense to do is for the wallet to have a PIN. So I'm going into wallet settings, and I'm going to add the ultra secure PIN 1111. Don't tell anyone. I'll try hard not to lose this phone. And I'm going to check the box to use the wallet PIN to protect any purchases that I make on the phone. So now, if I try to access my wallet, or if I try to go to the marketplace and buy an app, I have to put in the wallet PIN. If I'm one of those people that doesn't want to have a PIN for my whole phone, but I don't want someone who's borrowing my phone to be able to actually buy things, I can now use the wallet PIN to do that. And I want to show you how this works in a real example. But in the process of doing that, I'm going to show you something else that's new in the platform for Windows Phone 8. So I've gone here and launched an app from a company called Inrix. Inrix offers a service that gives you information about real-time traffic. And what you see here is traffic in the area. And Inrix is a free app in the marketplace. But what Inrix is doing in this example of their Windows Phone 8 version is take advantage of a new platform feature we're enabling for software developers to enable in-app purchasing using our purchasing backend and the wallet. So right there, you see a menu item for upgrade to Inrix Pro. I'm going to choose that, and now our platform UI is being displayed. Inrix has called out to Windows Phone and says, hey, can you make a transaction for me in the following amount? Now, I just put a PIN on my wallet, so before I can buy the Pro version of Inrix, I've got to put in my wallet PIN, and here's our wallet UI giving me the option to confirm this purchase. It's $24.99 for Inrix Pro, and to choose which card in my wallet I want to use to pay for this item. You saw in the wallet screen itself that Chase credit card was marked with an item that told that it's being used for purchases on the phone, and there you see it showing up as the default. I'll click Buy. We contact the service, we validate the payment, and voila, I've now upgraded, as you see in the upper left, from Inrix Basic to Inrix Pro. And all of the work that we've done to enable great payment methodologies, whether it's credit cards or mobile operator billing, translates in benefit to third-party apps who use this in-app purchasing capability. We actually think this is a pretty big deal, because if you think about the kinds of ways that mobile developers are monetizing their apps today, in-app purchase is a big one, and it's growing. And we think that once we enable this, we'll see the rate of apps in our marketplace continue to increase as we give developers this next very important way to monetize their investments and get a return on them on Windows Phone. So that wraps up my live demo of actual working Windows Phone 8 code. I do have one more thing that I want to show in conclusion as part of my demo. But this is a video. And what it is, what we tried to do was write some real code. So what you're going to see in the video is not fake mocked up stuff. This is a real app that we wrote both for the phone and for Windows 8 that shows how a software developer can solve a real-world problem for a family using the shared core between the phone and a slate. And so I'm going to show you the experience that a family might have as they go out to lunch at a local cafe. Let's run the video. Thank you. So that concludes my quick tour of the new platform capabilities in Windows Phone 8. And obviously, the most significant thing that Windows Phone 8 has a shared common core with Windows 8. And I hope you got a good sense of what this is going to mean for our end users in terms of hardware support, for our software developers in terms of ease of porting and new capabilities, and for the hardware vendors and MOs who bring these devices to market.